Thank you, brother. We appreciate the mission ministry, but we also appreciate the media ministry. Amen. Thank you all. And we appreciate all the ministries. It takes every single member that the Lord has brought here to do church. And church is done 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. What you do in the place that the Lord has you in ministering, you're doing that through the church. The church is functioning in these different places where you're at during the week. Every single member is important and vital. You have a role, you have a function, you have a responsibility, and you have a blessing attached to that responsibility. So, what a blessing to be able to be a part of this. So, YouTube folks, you don't know how close you were to not being here today. Please continue to pray for our media ministry and all the things that are attached to that. So, greetings to all of you that are now thankfully joining us behind and above the back pew on our YouTube channel for the worship service. John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. The words that I'd like to call your attention to this morning are found in this 8th chapter of the historical book of Esther, in the 2nd verse, which says, "And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai, and Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman." This verse is the spiritual summit of and the key to overturning the crisis, not only in this book, but in our own spiritual lives as well. This is the event that should have happened back in chapter 3 and should have happened in our Christian lives as soon as we realize that the flesh was governing and the Holy Spirit was quenched. So we continue on in our present series, Life in the Spirit, for such a time as this. The emphasis has been the last few Sundays on the life of Christ that the Holy Spirit has placed into us by indwelling us at salvation. That's the fullness of the Holy Spirit that we have been saved to live, that so many people have allowed the flesh, the world, and the devil to rob them of the joy and the purpose of it. So even though pride has been defeated and the flesh has now been mortified, Mordecai is still outside at the gate. The change of government is not complete until the ring of the will is on the Holy Spirit's hand and he's seated on the throne of the soul. The enthronement of the Spirit is our focus today. Now that's the crucial step that's missing in so many Christians because of the quenching and grieving of the Holy Spirit that takes place, which hinders his work of sanctifying and conforming us to Christ. The flesh is weakened and it's even hung. But if the rope is too long, his feet just simply touch the ground and he can still manage to continue on and gain strength as long as he remains on the throne and retains the ring, or if we do CPR on him and revive and give him life again and put him back to work. The fullness of life in the Spirit for King Ahasuerus is not completely engaged until this verse number 2 of chapter 8. So the faucet handle to life and authority for the flesh has been turned off now. The focus of Ahasuerus, the soul, is now on Esther, the spirit, who directs all of it to Mordecai, the Holy Spirit. Now, this is where we need to be at and to stay. But we have to continually maintain this unity and fullness of the Holy Spirit. And we do so by the operation of faith from God's word and by prayer and fellowship with the Lord. Now, we'll see this physically acted out in these remaining three chapters. So pay close attention to the truth here with a prayer that the Lord would help us to apply this and to live it out. Finally, at last, Ahasuerus has realized that Haman was not a friend at all, but really an enemy, a dangerous enemy. He saw the danger in the true character of Haman from Esther, who learned it from Mordecai. Now that's first base. Don't lose your place in Esther, but go over to the New Testament book of Romans. Romans chapter number 7. It's been a long time since I said Romans. Romans chapter 7, and keep your place here in Romans 2. Chapter 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, now he says in parentheses, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, not one. So the question at this point is, do you see that? Do you realize that? Do you understand that even though saved, in your flesh dwells no good thing? Nothing is good about the flesh. The percentage is 0% righteous in the flesh. Now, let's back up to chapter 3 of Romans. We'll just take a step back. Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. No human being is righteous. There is none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And verse 15 is not just murder. It's slander. It's gossip. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. God's just a joke. Heaven and hell is just a joke, a butt of jokes. Now, we know, verse 19 says, that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. It's lost people. Here's the purpose of the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. As long as you're running your mouth and justifying yourself and saying, I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that, you haven't seen it. You have not seen the gospel. You have not seen the truth about God nor the truth about yourself because you still don't think you're guilty. You still don't think you need salvation. But once you see it, once you see yourself next to the law, then you'll realize how condemned you really are and your need of salvation. Verse 20, so therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, be saved in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. There's no power in the law to overcome sin and produce righteousness and salvation. It's the district attorney that proves we're guilty. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you remember this realization when you were standing at the door of salvation? And you saw this for the first time, and you went, wow, I've never done one good thing my whole life. I've always compared myself to other people, saying, well, I'm better than them, I'm better than that one. Well, I'm not quite as good as him, but I'll get there in another day or two. But you see, God brings Jesus Christ and said, are you just as perfect as my son, Jesus Christ? No, no way. That's the gospel. Do you remember seeing that and realizing that? Standing beside you was his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, here you were, 0% righteous, 100% sin. There's not a little good in some people and a little more good in other people. There's zero good in all people. 100% sin, 0% righteous. That's the position we were when we were standing before God, the Creator and the Judge. And again, Jesus Christ standing beside 100% righteous, 0% sin. A complete contrast as you can have. So if you believe there's a little good in every human being, you've never really heard the gospel. Your unrighteous, fallen, old nature, if forced, can act like a saint and do good things, especially if it's motivated by pride. Your flesh can do that also after salvation as well. It was an impossible situation. If you got sprinkled on your forehead as a baby, your forehead got wet. You were still 0% righteous. If you were baptized, which as the word means, placed under water and brought up, your whole body got wet. You were still 0% righteous. By the way, if you say you were baptized as a baby, you were not. You were sprinkled. That's not baptism. If you were baptized in water but not saved, you were not scripturally baptized. Water does not save you. Has nothing to do with salvation. It is an outward confession that salvation has already taken place. It's identifying with Jesus Christ. If you joined the church, your name went into the membership. You are still 0% righteous. If you took the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion in the morning, depending on the denomination or the religion, something went into your stomach and was gone the next day. You were still 0% righteous. If you were confirmed to a creed, you got a nice certificate and ceremony, but you were still 0% righteous. If you repeated a say after me prayer with no desire for God in your life, you recited a form containing words with no meaning. You are still 0% righteous. If you always thought yourself to be a good person, always went to church, and don't even remember when you were born again, even approximately, you have a wonderful delusion that you're carrying around with you. You are still 0% righteous. But then one day, you actually heard the gospel about what God did about your impossible situation that you could do nothing about, or anybody else, or any ceremony or ritual. About how he took that 100% sin that you had and transferred it to his son. He sent him to the cross to pay for your and mine 100% sin and 0% righteousness. And he did so with the shedding of his blood on the cross. The law sentenced him guilty, and he was sentenced with the death penalty to pay the demand of justice from the law. Now, either you allow him to do that, or you're going to do that for all of eternity, separated from God, in a place not in heaven, but hell. He died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. Then was raised. He was resurrected bodily and walked out, leaving that 100% sin buried forever from the sight of God as far as the east is from the west. After 40 days, he ascended back to heaven, and he is seated on the throne as head of the church and operating his church through the Holy Spirit and through his word. Now, when you heard that and believe that God did that to Jesus and raised him from the dead, repentance of sin took place in your heart and in your mind. You saw everything about God differently, and about sin and about yourself differently. You also believe that he would forgive you and save you from that impossible situation, so you asked him to do so. God the Father took the 100% righteousness of Jesus Christ and transferred it to you, just as he transferred the 100% of sin to Jesus Christ. You were rescued, you were saved from the condemnation of that 100% sin and 0% righteousness by the law, and God put you into the position of 100% of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and 0% sin. That's salvation. Water can't do that. Church membership cannot do that. Your good works cannot do that. Born again in the Spirit, justified from the condemnation of the law. Remember when that happened? If you can't, we need to talk after the service. So if you remember that, then you should have no problem understanding that the nature of that old man, that lost life before salvation, is still with you as long as you have physical life. It's present. That's the flesh. That's Haman. He's retained that 100% sin and 0% righteousness. In my flesh dwells no good thing. Just as you had to see that and agree to it at salvation, the same is true of the flesh. Now we can make sure that the rope is short enough to put Haman to death. Now we can continue on in Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 18 again. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law after the inward man, the spirit. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. This is driving me crazy. Here's the flesh and here's the spirit. I've got two natures now. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. That's got to change, folks. Jesus Christ and his cross applied to the flesh will in fact deliver us from this situation as a Christian. Romans 7 is the life of the flesh. Romans 8 is the life in the spirit. In the book of Esther, what's been needed since chapter 3 is a change of government. And by the way, as we go back to Esther, by the way, after salvation, now comes baptism. Now comes church membership. It's vital. It's vital to own up and identify with a church family that the Lord has led you to, just as you identify with Christ in baptism. It's essential for your spiritual growth. You have to serve God through the ministry of the church in order for him to get glory. If you're doing it on your own, you get the glory. Then comes the Lord's Supper and so forth. After salvation, it will not replace salvation. So what's happened in the book of Esther up to this point is the wrong man was honored and elevated to the right hand of the throne and given the ring and seal of authority. Now 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We are a completely different kind of human creation than we were before salvation from physical birth. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, but behold, all things are become new. That's what we'll see here in chapter 8 of Esther. A new government, a new law, and a new life. First, a new government, verses 1 to 6. Verse 1. On that day, did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. The flesh has been revealed for what it is, its agenda, which was spiritual shipwreck, spiritual destruction, a nullifying of the joy of salvation, a nullifying of the effectiveness of our salvation. Not salvation itself, that belongs to God, not to us. Haman has been revealed for what he is, and his agenda of total destruction of life and confiscation of the wealth of God's people. He has been put to death. Esther now has the attention and ear of Ahasuerus. Now, notice Haman's life has been destroyed and his wealth confiscated and given to Esther. Again, poetic justice. Those very things that he was bragging about to his friends. So Esther now, for the first time, reveals who Mordecai was to her. And he is summoned to leave the gate and enter into the throne room. And he now stands before the king. Mordecai is now honored and exalted. Verse 2, and the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Finally, it'll be a great moment in your Christian life when you finally get to this place where you honor and exalt and place the ring of your authority and will and agenda onto the Holy Spirit. Oh, he's always been there since salvation. He was even on the throne. But you brought in the flesh at some moment. Outside at the gate, he even protected Ahasuerus from assassination. He was there. You just didn't hear him outside at the gate for listening to Haman and ignoring Esther. I know you didn't because you're in the world. Love it. There's a reason why it's called artificial. Same to you. Why did you need him after all? Why did you need the Holy Spirit? Haman influenced you to get your own agenda, make up your own plans, live life on your terms, serve God in the power of the flesh, make up your own beliefs, even change the Bible to make it say what you want it to say. But that's all changed. That's why, as Romans chapter 7 said, you wanted to do good and didn't want to do evil as a Christian, but you ended up doing the evil that you hated and not doing the good that you loved because of this. A change has taken place. A change of government has taken place in the life of Ahasuerus that will affect the whole kingdom. Everything becomes new. You no longer want to listen to your phones and look at your emails during preaching because you did what the screen said at the beginning of the service. You turned it off. So everything becomes new, starting with the new government. Now it's time to start living it. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in the strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Romans 13, verses 12 to 14 says. With the change of government, there's more that's changed. There's a new day, a new home, a new character, a new desire, a new position, and a new approach to the king. Verse 3. And Esther spoke yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Look back at chapter 5 of Esther, verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel, stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Chapter 8, verse 3, Esther spoke yet again before the king. You see the different approach to the king? There's almost a boldness now. She intercedes again over this plan, this law that Haman passed that's still in effect. Verse 4, then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king. And said, if it please the king, and if I found favor in his sight, and the thing seemed right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. In other words, do away with that law that he passed. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? The estate of Haman still exists. The estate included his family and all of his sons that he was so proud of. So the king placed Haman's estate, all of his property, all of his wealth, everything that belonged to him, into the hands of Esther. And she immediately turned everything over to Mordecai. We've mortified the flesh. Amen. But his household and his sons are still around to stir up trouble. These leftover remainders of the flesh, the temptations that's still there. We try to resist all of this in our own willpower, do we not? Our little resolutions, I'll never do it again. How'd that work? You don't have any power over the flesh. I don't have any power over the flesh. Only the Holy Spirit does. You see, our little resistance is in the soul. But the king turns the estate over to Esther and says, Esther, this is your problem now. You deal with it. And Esther turns around and gives it to Mordecai and said, Mordecai, it's your problem now. You deal with it. You're the only one who has the wisdom to handle this. So stop battling the flesh in the power of your flesh. Turn it over to the Holy Spirit and then follow through. What good is a change of government in our hearts if there's not a change in the way we live our lives? How can I endure to see the spiritual destruction of the church by the effects of the flesh, the laziness, the worldliness, the lack of concern, the lack of taking responsibility to the function and operation of the church? Let somebody else do it. I'm too busy. Let somebody else give to missions. Let somebody else minister to the gospel to the lost. Let somebody else disciple God's people. Let somebody else minister in a ministry. I've got things to do. I've got to focus on my health. I got to focus on every little thing. This isn't right. My elbow hurts. I got to go check that out. Something's wrong with my elbow. Oh, my goodness. Let me research and see what medicine I can take to heal my elbow. Oh, my goodness. It's all you focus about. Now, you should take care of it, but that's not the main priority. All the things, I got to see what's going on in sports. I got to see what's going on in the world. I got to look at the news. And you get all that, and you're all in the flesh and saying, now I got to read the Bible. And you, oh man, how boring. Yeah, you're in the flesh. Flesh is your focus. Life in this world, that's your focus. That's your priority. And then everything else is fit in. See, it's supposed to be just the direct opposite. How can I endure to see that happen to God's people? Lord, reverse the damage the flesh has caused. Do away with this law of sin in my members, Paul prays in Romans 7. Saved child of God, who is enthroned in your heart? Where's your focus? On the spiritual and on God? Or on the physical and the world? Who's influencing you and your decisions, the flesh or the Holy Spirit? It's high time to change that. Have you been saved? Been truly born again? If not, it's high time to change that and experience this all things new that God makes possible. A new government and an enthroning of the Holy Spirit, that's what's needed. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that there was a message that needed to get out, that somebody didn't want that to get out. Thank you for taking care of that. Lord, continue to give spiritual wisdom to those in our ministries. Lord, help us to realize how important one member of a church is. If one member of the church doesn't function, the whole church is crippled. Just as if one part of my body doesn't work, my whole body is crippled. Lord, help us not to just think of the blessings, but help us to realize the responsibility of those blessings. Lord, I pray this morning a change in government would take place in our hearts. That Haman, once and for all, would be kicked out, removed, and put to death. No life, no breath, no focus, no resuscitation. Kicked out and the door shut. And the Holy Spirit resumes his rightful place in our heart. Things will change. It'll go back and we'll remember that joy of our salvation when we first got saved and the Holy Spirit was leading us and governing us. How exciting it was to open your word. How exciting it was to pray and to realize you were listening. And not only listening, but answering the prayer according to your power and will. Lord, restore back that joy of our salvation and the effectiveness of it by influencing spiritually other people instead of they influencing us. And oh God, those among us that have never been forgiven, never been saved, never been brought out from under this death sentence, this condemnation of the law. I pray that would change right now, this morning. Show them their desperate need of you and your reality. Wake up our church. Wake us up to the urgency of the work that you've called us to do in this place that you have brought us to, with the people that you have caused to cross our paths. And may we get busy and focused on you and what you've saved us to be and to do. We pray in Jesus' name and his authority. Amen.